We read the opening verses of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." 700 and more years before Christ, the prophet Isaiah, in the spirit, hears a voice. Someone is crying out that in the desert a way may be prepared for the Lord. To understand this, we take account of the fact that the roads in those times in the East were often badly kept and preserved. And it was customary that if a royal person was to come that way, someone or some people would be sent ahead in order to make the way possible for the one who was following. And so the voice says, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." It's not someone great, as men judge greatness, that is coming, but the Lord God himself, he is coming. The fulfillment of this prophecy takes place, of course, much later, 700 and more years later, when the voice is heard in the wilderness of John the Baptist. The wilderness is the wilderness of Judea, a rough, mountainous and severe place, thinly populated, along the Jordan. The way has to be prepared. Someone is coming. Someone great is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord God is coming. And the one who would come is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. John's task is to prepare for his coming. So the voice cries, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." How would John do that exactly? That's not a literal road we're talking about, but the preparation is of a different kind altogether. The preparation will be to expose people's sins. It will be to urge upon people a need for repentance, to exhort them to believe in the coming one, to press the necessity and of an immediate turning to God, because Christ will establish his kingdom, and that is soon to be done. And therefore let the people cast away their prejudices. Let them amend their ways. Let them change their hearts. That is what John preached, to prepare the way of the Lord. And so when the Lord did come a little later, he came to a prepared people. Now in various ways, the Lord still comes, and we must make ready for him if we are to really gain the blessedness of his visitation. We too are called upon to prepare the way of the Lord. I want to look at various ways in which the Lord comes to us and how we need to prepare for his coming. First of all, he comes in the Word. when the Lord Jesus gave commission to his disciples before ascending, he told them to go and teach all nations, and he added, I'm with you. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17, we read the apostle's comment, and speaking of the spread of the word of God in his day, he said that he came, that the Lord came, and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that are nigh. Ephesians 2:17. So in the word he comes. And God's people need to prepare for his coming in the word, in order that he may really come to us in the fullness of blessing, to our great advantage. So given that he comes in the word of God which we hear, how do we prepare the way of the Lord? Well, we need to get our hearts first of all impressed with the sense of his presence. Like Cornelius and his household, who prepared for the visit of Peter to them as a gospel preacher, they sought to be in the fear of God, and all we, Cornelius said, are present before God to hear. Acts 10:33. So if the Lord is to come to us with blessing, we need to cultivate that sense of reverence and that sense of respect for him and for his truth. Secondly, we prepare the way of the Lord by engaging in some heart work and taking account of ourselves and taking account of our spiritual needs when we hear the word of God. And this is good preparation. And so we look to ourselves and we see what our moral deficiencies are, that we have needs. We have sins. Like in Solomon's day, every man knew the plague of his own heart. And aware of that, we look to the Lord to address that. Whether it be the need of forgiveness or the need of strengthening, whatever be the need, we need to realize that we have it and that the Lord is the answer for that. Thirdly, we prepare for his coming to us in the word when we repent of our sins and we make ready for him in the tabernacle and in the temple of old. The laver, the place where the people washed, was at the door and teaching them that we need to have our sins forgiven before we go any further, before we proceed. And so we are to wash our hands, as it were, in the blood of Christ, avail ourselves of that provision for cleansing. We are then to think of the benefit of hearing God's word and stir up our hearts to desire the word of God. 1 Peter 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Come to the church with real need to hear something from God, something which will help us, something which will guide us. Those needs will be supplied but they certainly need to be there. And lastly here, listening to the word of God, if he comes in the word of God, then give it due attention. Take heed how ye hear, Jesus said. And don't just hear the letter, but try to feel and discover the Spirit in the Word, which will bless you, and which will change you, and which will support you. This is the best way of preparing for the coming of the Lord in the Word. And this will ensure that he will come to us in due time with great blessing. The Baptist did all that he could do. He was faithful, and he made ready for Christ's coming to the people. And so we also must prepare the way of the Lord. And secondly, he comes in the sacrament. We read in the Epistle to the Corinthians, 1st Epistle, chapter 10, what of the bread and of the wine? Is it not the communion? It is the communion. The communion of the body and the blood of Christ. Christ draws near to his people when they observe the sacrament of the table. The King sits at this table, ready to do us good. And we must receive this visitation also. And the best way we can receive it is to make due preparation for the coming of the Lord in the sacrament. Ensure, in other words, that his way is open to our hearts. So how do we prepare the way of the Lord in the sacrament? Well, make sure that you have a right view of the sacrament, that it is a feast ordained by Christ in which he is pleased to hold fellowship with us. That's what it's all about. And we need to understand that. I come into my garden, I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey, I have drunk my wine with milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. And that's what Christ says to us at the table. I'm coming, and I'm coming to sit down with you. I'm coming to befriend you. I'm coming to hold Holy Communion with you. So get a right view of it, first of all. And then he will come, according to his promise. Think, too, of not only the purpose of this feast, which is to hold communion, but of the duty incumbent upon us to observe this feast, because the Lord says to all his people, do this in remembrance of me. It's easy to neglect it. I think it's the one service in church life that is too easily neglected. People say, well, I must get home because of the children. I must get home because of the food. And so we can make 100 reasons why we should not remain. But over and above all these things is Christ's injunction. Do this in remembrance of me. Prepare by seeing that it is a solemn responsibility to keep Christ in mind. A third thing we we need is to examine ourselves. Now that is the teaching of 1 Corinthians 11. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. That's part of preparing the way of the Lord. To examine two things, our standing and our state. To take account of our standing, we have believed and thereby we are justified. Make sure that's right. And then examine your state, your present state. What is your love for Christ? Your desire for Him? Your delight in Him? Are you in a good spiritual frame? And that way you will prepare the way of the Lord. You'll make His path straight. And He will come to you. So thirdly, meditate upon what's before you and what is being presented to you. Meditate upon the sufferings and the death of your Saviour. And see that whatever else is in your life at the present time, the fact remains He loved you and He gave Himself for you. And that love you need to know. And that salvation you need to go on experiencing. So make sure your thoughts are directed to the Saviour, to the Redeemer. And then finally, with respect to this coming, believe. I mean by that, confide in Christ and rest in Him. Let your anxious heart be quietened. And in this feast, do as John did, upon Jesus' breast, he rested his head, that he found the Lord at the table and peace with Him. So allow no stress, no care to intrude, but let your heart go out in confidence to Christ and discover again His amazing love for you and His amazing redemption on your behalf. Do that and you will help prepare the way of the Lord. He comes in the Word. He comes in the sacrament. Thirdly, He comes in the congregation when the church gathers. It was said in Exodus 20, verse 24, that in every place where I record my name, there I will come to thee, and I will bless thee. So wherever the name of God is recorded, wherever the revelation of God is made known, and that revelation of God is appreciated, the word is preached, the people listen, the name of God is recorded, there's a promise, I will come to thee, and I will bless thee. So He comes not only in the word and in the sacrament, but He comes in the congregation. Because He said Himself, didn't He, in Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered together in my name in the congregation, there am I in the midst of them. So each Sabbath day and each service we need to make ready for Him to come to us and ensure that we're in the right frame and a right state to facilitate this. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. We need to have a higher view of our services and meetings than we have. They're not just church appointments necessary for the ongoing life of the church, but these services and meetings are the times when Christ draws near and Christ comes into our midst, so as to give benefits to us, dispense favors to us. We want to make the most of them. We want the Lord indeed to come into these services and into these meetings, so we may say with the psalmist in Psalm 84, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." It's a wonderful thing to meet as a church. "But my soul longeth, yea, fainteth. My flesh crieth out for the living God." So we view these times as times of visitation. So we must attend with a desire, first of all, to meet him. That must be foremost in our minds. Why are you going to church this morning? I'm going up to meet him whom I love, and to be blessed by him. The scripture says, "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." So we must come with real desire and real longing, the meaning of open thy mouth wide, not simply to have an appetite for material things, but have an appetite for spiritual things. And he will satisfy the needy with bread. And he will not turn the poor away from him. So come with spiritual desire. He comes in the congregation. If you have a desire for him, you will make real that coming. He will respond to that. He will surely come. And he will bless you abundantly. Understand too, to prepare the way, that you live by faith on him as your portion. "He is my portion," said my soul. Get that into focus. He's coming when the church meets. And I'm thrilled at that, because he's the one I've chosen as my good, my all. He's coming. So live by faith. Thirdly, ensure that your worship is spiritual, that you desire from your hearts to serve him, and concentrate upon that spiritual aspect of worship, not the outward. We believe the singing of psalms is right. We believe the reading of scripture is approved. We believe that the preaching of God's word is most necessary to conform to God's revealed will. But we dare not stick with the outward and the external. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So let us make sure that we go beyond the form, that we make much of the kernel, the marrow, and that we, on a level of spirituality, are preparing to meet with Christ. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," by praying, and praying before you come, and when you come. And what do we pray for? We pray for the minister, that he will be helped. "Pray for us," Paul says, "that the word of God may be glorified, that it will be so preached as to make God known, and therefore God shall be praised. Pray for us. And pray for yourselves, that you'll give to the word of God a good hearing, and that you will hear properly, not amiss, that you will receive it as the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. Pray for it. And ensure to prepare the way of the Lord, that you come in a right frame into the meetings of the congregation, that you don't come in a critical way or in a melancholic way, but make sure that you come to be instructed and wanting to be joyful in your God. Come in that way. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He'll respond to that. He'll come the sooner when that's true, and he will bless you on his coming. Finally here, come with a view to his greater glory. You're meeting here not simply for your benefit, but for his honour. Study that. That will wake you up. That will cause you to throw off sloth. We are here to show our respect for the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. To him we give our praise because we want his name to be exalted and for men to be blessed in him. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He comes in his word. He comes in the sacrament. He comes in the congregation. Now fourthly, he comes in revival. When the Old Testament church prayed for revival, it says, Isaiah 64, "Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down." That's revival. It's a visitation of God. When our Lord spoke in the upper room discourse of the pouring out of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, this is what he said: "I will not leave you comfortless." That's how it reads in the Authorized Version, a perfectly adequate translation, but literally it's, "I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you." He's talking about Pentecost. He comes to us in the mercy of the Spirit to bless us. And this is a visitation we would not wish to miss. And it is laid upon us to make sure the way is open for him to come in revival blessing. Can we prepare the way of the Lord in this sense? Well, my friends, we can go so far as to ensure that he will come spiritually to us and he will bless us. We're not here to lay constraint upon him and determine the way he will come to us, or with what measure of power he will come to us. That is left to his sovereign will. Nevertheless, if he comes in revival, then we are to prepare the way. And how can we make ready the situation for the Lord to enter among us in this extraordinary way of revival? Well, let God's people first of all reevaluate his presence and know that this is the greatest benefit we have, the presence of God. And therefore let the people desire him. We are to remember, friends, that we're not here just to be informed as to the content of this book that is involved. That's not our primary objective. Our primary objective is through this book to come to experience him So the desire of our soul is to thy name. And we must seek the presence of God as all important. We must come as those who can say, we seek the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Even in the darkest times, days of prevailing unbelief, days of almost universal discouragement, look for him. Look for him. Because it's in such days when darkness is over the face of the earth that the light rises in obscurity, in the shadows. It's at such times he comes. When the church was covered with medieval superstition and there seemed hardly a sign that the true church still existed, the light shone in the darkness. There was revival under John de Wycliffe, under John Huss, under Martin Luther. In darkest times we must look for him. Prayer must ascend. Oh, wilt thou not revive us? He'll do in answer to prayer. There should be no prayer meeting taking place in our churches which does not in some way focus and rest upon the reality of revival. Why? Because that's the coming of God to us. Why? Because we so desperately need it. And by our prayers we prepare the way of the Lord. So that there is the greater possibility that he will come. So prepare ye the way of the Lord. Be single-hearted. Say to him, in other words, 'tis thee we seek. This morning I've not come to hear a minister. I want to hear from thee. I've not come to see another in the congregation. I've come to see thee. I don't want to meet with friends. I want to speak with my greatest friend. By making this your devotion, you will prepare the way of the Lord. Another preparative act, which I'll mention here, is the need to be aware of experience. The experience of God's people. Now, the Welsh had an experience which was developed in the 18th century, particularly in Wales, and it was called the experience meeting. Dr. Lloyd-Jones referred to it often. And the minister and some of the congregation would meet, and after the reading of scripture and the prayer, they would begin to relate how the Lord has been to them, what he's done for them of late, the prayers he's answered, the experience meeting. And it was of great benefit to people who were seeking the Lord, because in that meeting they heard how others had found him. So it was really edifying. And then as believers unburdened their hearts and said, well, I was brought very low, but in this way the Lord helped me. Troubled saints were greatly encouraged to hear how the Lord had been to one and to another, and it brought them out. I think there's a gap in our organization, and I would very much like to see it filled with such occasional meetings. I will tell what the Lord hath done for my soul. Psalm 66. I think it not only helps seekers and troubled believers, but it's a great help to those who are very near the kingdom of God. When they hear how there was a time when you were in that place, very near, perhaps not in the kingdom, but nigh to it. And when those souls hear of the way the Lord drew you across the line and made you truly his, it's very helpful to them. More helpful than a sermon, perhaps. To hear how the Lord has dealt with others. Oh, if only we could prepare the way of the Lord in revival. Then the word would go around the churches. He has come. What they've been desiring, what they've been praying for, what they've been focused upon, what they've longed for, it's come. He's come. And fifthly and finally, he comes in death and in judgment. He comes in death and he comes, of course, the final and climactic time in the second advent. And we are told to prepare to meet our God, whether in death or at the second coming. We must prepare. We must be ready. So we're not only to ensure that we believe and are therefore ready in that sense, but we are actually to prepare. That former is sometimes called theologically habitual preparation, but actual preparation is taking further steps to make sure that when the Lord comes, we won't be ashamed, we won't experience disappointment. We will be ready for him in that sense. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make sure every day that you confess your sins and that you are forgiven. Make sure each day that you live that day as you want to live it, to God's glory, in obedience to his word. Be living as you should. Gain as much assurance as you can, for when he comes in death and in the judgment of the last day, it will be a stupendous arrival, a great meeting. Therefore, it's good to be assured that you're in Christ. Contrary to appearances, believe what the Bible says, that in death he comes to you, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Believe that. Tell yourself that. What is death? Is it the cessation of breathing? Is it the stopping of the heart? It is that, in a physical way. But death is more than that for the Christian. Death is meeting with Christ. And think about that as the day of judgment will be meeting with Christ, and let that remove the fear. Hold on to the promise which he's given you, that at death and at the second coming, it is Christ who appears. So then, love him with all your heart, and you'll not be disappointed. Death will reveal him. At the second coming, the skies will display his glory. So cherish that hope beyond the experience of death, if you like, beyond the experience of judgment, is the experience of Christ. And thus you'll prepare the way of the Lord. You'll prepare yourselves for these events. And when he comes, it will be to your great consolation and your great comfort. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Friends, all that I have to say this morning is the Lord. Our hearts should be so taken up with the Lord. We should want so much more of the Lord, however he comes to us, in the Word, in the sacrament, in the congregation, in revival, or in death and at the final event. It's the Lord, and in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So then, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And may he come to us and richly bless us and fill our hearts with joy unspeakable, full of glory.